The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
Welcome to Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down with one comic and see what happens. This week, Batman Detective Comics number 27, the big anniversary issue, 75 years.
That's right.
Of Batman.
1939 is the year, and Stephen and I are here to tell you all about it here on this fascinating radio device.
So, what's really interesting, though, is, I have none of the numbers, is this 900? Is this issue 900?
Honestly, let's see. When did they cancel Detective? Like 870 something?
I didn't do my pre-game warm-up here. I didn't look it up. But as we're talking, I bet we could. So, this is a big, big, big oversized issue. $8 is how much it's going to cost you at the comic book stand. And as it is with any anniversary issue, and we see this a lot, especially in DC Comics over the years, I remember when Batman turned, I do remember when Batman turned 50.
I remember Batman number 400 in 1984. That was a mess. It had a Bill Sienkiewicz cover, and I love Sienkiewicz, but his Batman is haunting and terrifying and should never, ever happen.
Yeah.
Oh, terrified. Now I'm too scared to finish the show. Just go on without me.
Let's see. This ended at
883.
811? Let's see. Yeah, 883.
Which means that 27 issues later.
Yeah.
Issue 900. I think. Now, you can tell me I'm crazy.
You're crazy.
I think that the reason Villains Month existed was to push Detective Comics, quote unquote, 900 to the correct month to be the 75th anniversary.
Could be, but didn't they do, wasn't there a bunch of other stuff that spun out of Villains Month besides just the villains going crazy for a month? I haven't been reading a lot of DC Comics.
I can't pay attention to that. Forever Evil is...
Yes, Forever Evil. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, for one thing, it's taking forever. And they're just dragging and dragging and dragging it out to the point where I feel like I'm being told a joke by a five-year-old.
And they still haven't killed Nightwing yet.
They're not going to kill Nightwing. This is not going to happen.
But Dan DiDio's been wanting to kill Nightwing for years.
Okay. What other rumors are we going to... Dan DiDio's going to kill
Nightwing and
melt the ambush bug.
At one point, there was a rumor that Ben Affleck was going to play Batman. Look well, that came out. So,
yes. How did that come out? How was that movie that hasn't been made yet?
It came out just fine because the rumor were true. Ben Affleck's playing Batman.
Were it?
In this book, big oversized issue, a lot of different writers, a lot of different artists working on several different small stories, anthology book that is meant to celebrate 900 issues of Batman. So we start off with Case of the Chemical Syndicate, the first appearance of Batman in 1939, written by Brad Meltzer, art by Brian Hitch. Basically, it is the story of Batman going out to the Ace Chemical Factory and stopping a murder and a guy in a purple suit falling in a vat of chemicals.
Yep.
To be honest, I am surprised that that Scott Snyder didn't write this. Everything that he's been doing with Year One and the history of Batman, and I'm not Year One, Year Zero, and the history of Batman, I thought this would have been his story to write.
But, no, this is stunt casting.
You know, I didn't mind the story. I mean, I think if you're going to retell a version of Detective 27, I think this is a fine retelling of it. I mean, it didn't end with Batman looking down and saying a fitting end for his lot. You know, it didn't end with that.
Right. And I did not care for Brian Hitch's Batman.
Really?
He's overly armored and overly noodly.
Well,
and you know,
I would agree in the little bit of the loose. I mean, he's skinnier. This is a Batman in his first year, right? So he's not going to be big and bulky. But the suit.
Well, I'm not talking about his body. I'm talking about every single bit of it. The texture in the cowl and the texture in the hands.
Yeah.
And the seams and the
well,
the
that's
vents
all.
And
the, that that's all the that's the current Batman suit style with all the ribbing and all that stuff.
No. Hitch is drawing it with a lot more complicated crap than the stuff that we're seeing.
To each his own, I suppose. I didn't mind it. It's an okay story. Okay. We get some art by Pat Gleason.
Little overwritten.
Art by Pat Gleason.
Yes, okay. Which is awesome.
It's okay.
I liked that. That was cool because it's got Batmite in it.
Yeah, it's okay. Then we go old school. And Batman's having some trippy flashback. It starts out with Batman of the 1940s, and then jump cuts to Batman fighting the Scarecrow in probably kind of like a 60s, early 70s. Yeah. And then it flashes to more of a 70s style, and Batman's going crazy.
He gets his yellow oval.
Yes. He's going crazy, and then suddenly he stumbles into a comic book shop. He wakes up in a chair and it's all been a dream. He nodded off. And I'm guessing that's Neil Adams. I don't know who the artist is. Or I don't know who the comic book store owner is, but they lampshade his face so much in the last two panels that it has to be somebody.
The last three panels. It may be Neil Adams. It may be meant to represent someone important to the creation of Batman.
I'm sure it is. And I don't know who that would be.
I don't know. I did not care at all for this story.
Yeah, I thought that one was rather redonkulous.
Well, and it the problem with a celebration that's a fine word. Who is it?
I was thinking who's the guy? That's not who's the guy? Stop, buy this comic or I'm dead. The guy that did that Flash story where the Flash came into the real
Carmine
world.
Carmine Infantino?
Yeah, is that who that is?
That's not Carmine.
Okay, man. All right.
Well, Carmine's been dead for 20 years.
Well, it doesn't have to be somebody living, but the fact that here's Batman in a comic book store celebrating the 75th anniversary, yeah.
I think that's Neil, and I'll bet you the other faces are Neil's friends, but this story kind of disappears up its own butt.
This one is
really self-congratulatory and metatextual and overly so. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, not that the first story wasn't full of that. It was.
Oh, no. The first story was fine. I mean, it was a story of Batman in his first year. And it just so happens to probably be the origin story of the Joker. I'm OK with that. I mean, that's fine if you want to retell it. This story is just Looney Tunes because it doesn't make any sense. It's paying an homage to all the history of Batman and the craziness that goes on there. But
speaking
it is
of craziness. Neil Adams.
It has. No, I mean, yes, you're right. It's a story that disappears up its own butt.
It is not really a narrative so much as it is, you know, just kind of a Shaggy Dog story. And that's got its place. I didn't care for it. I did like the way they tried to simulate the evolution of art styles.
Yeah, didn't quite work.
But it comes to a point where it gets almost indistinguishable.
But here's the problem. If they're going to celebrate the different kinds of art styles, what you need on this particular story are a bunch of different artists who can ape that style really good instead of one artist who is going to end up with some kind of continuity and follow through throughout all of his pieces. Does that make sense? I mean, you can't help that. If I was drawing something to make it look like Batman from 1939, and then I was going to draw something of Batman from the 1960s, and then I was going to draw something of Batman in the 1980s, you'd still all be able to tell, well, that's Steven's artwork. Whereas if I drew Batman from 39, you drew Batman from the 80s.
Exactly.
And then we had, you know, Bruce Otter draw Batman in the 80s. It would look totally different. And you'd say, oh, I see what's going on here. This is some weird, trippy hallucination dream, which it is.
This strikes me as Neil Adams is a huge name in Batman history. Neil right. Adams was like, you know, either he approached them or they approached him, whatever it was. This is a story that is here on the strength of Neil Adams Batman.
Well, and it's his heart, and I like Neil. I like Neil Adams' art. There's nothing wrong with it. But I just think the story is just dumb.
It isn't really a story.
No, it's not.
But then.
Then we get to jump into a story called Better Days, which features, and I thought this was going to be, you know, because you got an old Bruce Wayne walking around with a cane and everything. I'm like, ooh, this is how they're going to.
Batman Beyond.
That's what I'm thinking, too. And in a way, it is kind of Batman Beyond. The most notable exception is Batman Beyond doesn't exist in this. There is no Terry McGinnis in here, but instead we do have Damian.
Tim Drake. And Damian Wayne.
Yeah.
Why does Tim Drake look older than Dick Grayson?
Art! I hate the art, by the way, in this piece.
I love the art in this piece. I do. It's got kind of a Frank Quitely vibe.
It's really over the top.
Yeah, it's really evocative and really nuts. And then Alfred falls asleep and all the heroes run out into the night and Bruce is like,
you ain't leaving me here on my 75th birthday. I'm going to go out and fight some crime, too.
Yeah. Wearing knee braces and just basically being a massive scar tissue.
Ace bandages.
Doing the Frank Miller jump.
Yes.
The Dark Knight Returns.
Which was a nice little homage, but then you look in the background, it's like flying spaceships, flying cars, and techno gadgetry and all that, which I'm fine with.
I'm probably going to get struck down from above by the nerd council for this, but this story is no more ridiculous than The Dark Knight Returns itself.
Oh, no. No. I was really expecting, oh, Terry McGinnis, this is how you're going to work this one in.
Yeah. And then when they did that Dark Knight thing, I thought, oh, well, they're going to do a Dark Knight homage. And no, it's just basically 75-year-old Bruce Wayne going out and fighting crime for a night, which is awesome.
Well, and
that,
you know,
which means that, you know, you have 112-year-old Alfred Pennyworth running around.
Well, no, he's wheeling around in his wheelchair. I like that he's got a bite taken out of his ear.
Yeah, ask me about my Alfred theory.
What's your Alfred theory?
Well, ask me in a minute. We'll finish the review.
The point of this one is it's a fine little story. The art is very much Quitely meets Mobius style. I'm disappointed that Terry McGinnis isn't in here because that kind of hurts. I understand Damian with the the Batman 666 costume in there. That's all fine too.
Barbara Gordon as the new commissioner.
I mean, everything, unless, you know, this is something that takes place before the Batman Beyond Terry McGinnis stuff takes place, you know, cause I think Bruce Wayne in that series is in his 80s.
Well, possibly.
So, you know, this could still take place of all that. We haven't seen a falling out between the heroes yet.
Well, it can't be Batman Beyond continuity. Isn't that where Tim Drake was possessed by the Joker?
Yes, but that doesn't come out until much later, though.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
Yeah.
And then we get Francesco Franca.
Oh, man. I've been talking to him in Twitter, and I've been telling him, please get his Batman 72 series launch from DC, and he says he's working on it. And if you want to take a look at what Francesco Francovia can do with Batman, take a look at Rain. Story and art by Francesco Francovia. There is a car that has crashed. Batman pulls up. It's just a real quick story. It's like four pages. Batman pulls up, gets the mother and the child out of the car, and the mother is like, oh, thank you for saving my son again. And he goes, what do you mean? And then the car explodes. Everyone's okay. Batman flies off. And then we see a young James Gordon adjusting his glasses. And I'm guessing it's James Gordon Jr. because they address the character as Junior. We see he has the yellow hair and the glasses that we've seen in the series where he goes all crazy and kills everybody, where he's the serial killer. And then it's also a reference to Frank Miller's Year One, where Batman jumps off the bridge and saves James Gordon as a baby. So after I made that connection, when I first read it, I was like, oh man, I think this is the first time that Francesco ever lost me on a story. And then I had to sit for a minute and go, oh yes, that's it.
He just out nerded you is what he did. Francesco knows more about Batman.
No, he doesn't know more about Batman history than me. It just took me a minute to make it click.
Oh, it took me a minute. Okay. And then Kelly Jones draws Azrael.
Ugh.
What ugh?
Again, I'm not a big fan of Kelly Jones' Batman.
Kelly Jones has a thing.
I know everybody. I mean, and here's the thing. I can like something and Matthew doesn't have to like it. Matthew can like something and I don't have to like it. You listener can like Kelly Jones' artwork. I don't have to like Kelly Jones' artwork. It's something about ears and the cape.
I like Kelly Jones' art, except for one problem.
It's got Batman in it.
His Batman is always monstrous and vampiric.
Yeah, exactly.
Which to me kind of undermines the point.
Worked great in Red Rain. Didn't he do the art in Red Rain?
Yeah, and then whatever the sequel to Red Rain was.
Red Rain 2.
I think it was like a
Purple Rain. Purple Rain.
Yeah, where Batman was played by a short man from Minneapolis with a little mustache. So then the Phantom Stranger shows up.
Yes, which is, you know, it's always good to see Phantom Stranger show up as a mysterious ghostly figure instead of whatever DC has turned him into.
Lately, I think he's been sort of a haunted Mike Brady.
Oh, really? I thought he was supposed to be Judas.
Was he Judas or was he the Wandering? I don't know. Doesn't matter, because this is a story where the Phantom Stranger watches the Batman thing, and then
he gives Batman his ultimate wish, his parents never dying, and he goes, right. Okay, Batman, here's your wish. If you never wanted your parents to die, I'll show you what that future would have given you, but you'll also have to live with the consequences. And so it turns out that, you know, the gangs control Gotham City, the Jokers and the Scarecrow gangs are fighting each other in the street, James Gordon is a quadriplegic in bed. Ra's al Ghul controls half the world, and poor Richard Grayson, death row for killing Tony Zucco.
Yeah.
And then you've got a moment here where, Bruce has to say goodbye to his son, very much the, what do you get for a man who has everything, which is what this story really was, you know, for Superman, he gets Utopia where he's living on Krypton and everything is fine. He's got a wife that loves him and a kid that loves him and everything is great. And even the planet is great. But then Superman realizes something's not right. And he has to give his son a big hug goodbye and say, I'll never miss you. And then Krypton blows up. Here, it's not quite the wonderful life.
Son, I'll miss you forever. And then Gotham City blows up.
Yeah.
The Stranger looks really, really weird. But
Yes, he does.
Like,
I agree.
I like Gillum March's art in this story because it reminds me of, this is funny because it reminds me of what Neil Adams' art used to look like. It looks more Neil Adams in places than Neil Adams. Yeah.
No, I agree. There are a lot of places of that. We get a Graham Nolan splash page, Batman.
And who knew?
That's okay. I like that.
Graham Nolan from the legendary folk trio of Crosby, Stills, and Nolan actually drew Batman.
He does a full Batman and he does a cape Batman in the background, and then you get the full face of the bad guys in the foreground, which I like.
Yeah, it's a very, very 90s. I think that's the era in which he operated.
Okay.
I don't know. But if you look, you can see the KG Beast down there, and you can see all of those guys.
Firefly. So
1987.
King Tiger or whatever the guy's name was.
Was it King Tiger? It was King Snake.
King Snake, yeah.
And then there's some girl with a visor, so that's
fine. Yeah, it's Cyclops.
Oh, Cyclops girl, yeah.
Yeah, that's, remember that one, Girl Clops?
Girl Clops, yeah. I remember her, Girl Clops. Never mind.
So then we jump into our next story, which is, and I'm going to have to go back to the, jump back and find out who the artist is, because at first I thought it was Greg Land. Gothtopia, written by John Layman, art by Jason Fabok.
It doesn't look quite Greg Land as far as the way it's broken down, to where that is to say it doesn't look like it's lightboxed, but it definitely has a similar kind of photorealistic vibe.
Yeah. So in this story, Gotham has become a utopia. You know, the economy is way up, crime is way down, Batman's wearing a cool white suit, his new sidekick is a Selina going by the name of Catbird. We've got Kate Kane as a golden Batman. What is her name?
Batwoman. I believe her name is
Let's see. They've got Bluebell and Bright Bat.
Bright Bat.
And is so I'm, Kate Kane. And I'm guessing Bluebell is Barbara.
Could be. Does she have red hair?
Yeah, she does.
Look at that. It's Kate. Yeah, because that's Kate's mask.
Yeah.
And it's not Barbara's mask, but it is the mask that Alicia Silverstone wore as Batgirl.
You know, here we've got Penguin as the mayor.
Right.
And then there's a whole bunch of other people.
Bullock is must be part of this too, because he's all handsome.
Oh yeah, he must be like the chief of police or something. The problem is suicide rates in Gotham are an all-time high. And Batman, being Batman, figures out that they're all being mind wiped. They're all being mind controlled. And turns out this is all part of a big multi-issue arc.
Ah, Gothtopia.
I do like these other characters. Flying Fox.
Right.
The Gothamite.
Yes.
The Wings of Truth, which are like the Birds of Prey.
I think, are they the Wings of Truth or are they the Teen Titans?
No, they're called the Wings of Truth. And there's somebody that looks like the stockings, so it looks like Black Canary.
Right. And then there's somebody who looks like the Wrath with the big W on
his chest. Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of cool. Then, Batman gets hauled off to the Center for Health and Wellness, Arkham Asylum. And then we find out that Scarecrow is controlling everybody. Professor Pig's there. A bunch of other people are there. But it's the Gothtopia storyline that you can read, ladies and gentlemen, in Batwing number 27, Batgirl number 27, Catwoman number 27, and Birds of Prey number 28.
Notice that there are no Batman titles, which I think is interesting. The Birds... Oh! Yeah, I keep forgetting that the Birds of Prey exist in the new DCU.
Yes, they do.
All right. Hey, look, there's Harley Quinn.
Yep. You know what? I didn't care for this story, and I don't like how they use a big anniversary issue like this to not tell a complete story and then force you to go out and buy a bunch of other stories.
I likewise didn't care for this story, mostly because, much like the Neil Adams story, albeit for different reasons, it kind of disappears unto itself.
A little bit.
Its own tale, because it's something where even their bright Batman turns out to be dark and gritty and forlorn, and it just kind of I don't understand what the basics are. It may be that I don't read enough Bat titles to know where all these people, you know, it may be something where everything should be incredibly meaningful. I don't know. But Mike Allred drew Batman, so
yeah, and again, I flip-flop on Mike Allred's art a lot. Here I like it. I liked him when he was doing, what was that issue we read? FF? Was that what he was working on? Yeah, I liked it when it was in there.
We need to do Silver Surfer number one when it comes out.
Okay. Then we get into the final story called 27, written by Scott Snyder, art by Sean Murphy. And again, you know who's mysteriously absent from this issue or in a weirder place than I thought is Greg Capullo, who ended up only doing the cover for this for this issue, which I thought was weird. So
maybe he's drawing the regular series and didn't have time.
Maybe. Bruce Wayne wakes up in the cave and he's like, what's happened to me? And there's a really old man dressed as a samurai with a missing arm saying, hey, it's okay. And then Bruce Wayne grabs him and says, no, you need to tell me what's going on. And then the old man flips him and says, I'm you, you're me. The other me's, the other us's.
I am you as you are me and you are he and we are all together as the Batman.
So this is kind of interesting because years ago when they were one of the times where they were bringing the Justice League Unlimited to an end, we got a story about how Martha Waller. Is that her name? First name? Martha?
Amanda.
Amanda Waller. Yeah, that didn't sound right.
Martha is the name of everyone's mother in the DC.
Yes. So Amanda Waller had this thing that, you know, the world needs a Batman. And so she started a cloning project to clone Batman. And that kind of resulted in Terry McGinnis. Here, Batman, in this story, Batman has perfected cloning and he's decided to clone himself so that in case the world ever goes crazy, there's always a Batman around. And every 25 years, the cloning process kicks anew because it takes 2 years for the process to complete. So Batman emerges at 27, just days after the oath was taken, you know, the oath by the candle of preventing crime. And then that person continues until they're too old to continue being Batman, and then they start the process over again.
Yeah.
That's kind of an interesting story.
I'm not sure as a concept that I like it, though. It, especially if this is meant to be canonical.
I don't think it will be.
You don't think so?
No. I don't think the only thing that is going to be even somewhat canonical is going to be the Gothtopia story. This one is just one of, and again, in a lot of these big anniversary issues, it's a bunch of what ifs and what could have been's kind of stories
and things that, you know, are inspired.
Yeah. Inspired by. And it's, so when we look at this overall, It's an interesting anthology of stories. It should have been titled Detective Comics number 27, What If, I think, honestly.
No, they call them Elseworlds, the DCU.
Well, not really. Well, I guess you could call them Elseworlds, too. That's fine by
you
me.
Call them Else what?
Yeah, except that's that, you know, the Elseworlds, yeah. Except, you know, the DC decided to crap all over its revamped multiverse and then blew up the Earth 2. Or I guess Earth 2 is still going on.
I don't know.
So overall, my feeling is this is kind of a mixed bag. There's some stuff in here that I think is really, really fantastic. And there's stuff that, you know, even as someone who likes Batman, I really didn't care for. And I could have just passed on it. And you could have split this up over two different volumes, not made me pay as much and put all the good stuff in one issue and all the bad stuff in the other issue. And I could have saved a couple of bucks.
Agreed. And that's kind of the way I feel about it is this is okay, but $8.99?
Man, it's a lot. $7.99 for the book.
$8.99
if you get the combo package.
There's not a lot here that I say is worth $8.99. Now, granted, I'm not a monthly Batman reader, and that will definitely color your opinion if you read Batman every month.
Yeah.
And frankly, there are celebrations of all of Batman, which means that if there's part of Batman you don't like, say, I don't know, excessive grim and grittiness, and the fact that he can fight Superman with his own bare hands, rawr.
Well, that's not in here.
No, it's in the back pages.
Well, that's but the that's, 52 teaser thing.
That counts.
But okay, sure.
If you have problems with Batman, it's celebrating everything about Batman, including the problematic aspects.
Yeah.
So
what this book is it really is a celebration as much as they can in 85 pages or whatever it is.
85,
In as many pages as they can, 75 years of Batman. And it's really hard to try to encompass everything about Batman into that space. So it somewhat feels forced, a lot of it, because you're working on limited pages. You have to tell an interesting story or try to tell a story that hooks the reader and shows them what Batman was like or give you a feel for what Batman titles would have been like in previous times. But, you know, I think overall this is going to be hit and miss for a lot of readers. I know that there's probably some of you out there who are ready to give this 5 stars instantly just by looking at the cover. And I'm sure some of you out there are like, well, I don't even like Batman. I'm giving this a 0.2.
I'm giving this no stars because it's got Batman in it.
Yeah, so I don't know. The bottom line for me is it's a very expensive book.
It is.
It unless you're going to read this Gothopia storyline, I don't think that this is a book that this is kind of sad. I don't think that this is a book that matters. And that's kind of a really harsh word to say, but it's a book that you don't need. If you're into anniversary stuff, if you're trying to make sure that you have a complete Batman run so that, you know, 50 years from now when they're digging through your house and they find you buried underneath a stack of Batman titles, they'll know that this was the heaviest one that did it.
And I kind of agree with you. It's not essential Batman. It's kind of fluffy.
Like your cat?
Yeah. Like my cat. Can you hear my cat? I'm sorry.
Yep.
It's kind of fluffy and it won't go away and it tends to, you know, be annoying, which again, all like my cat. So I would say that if you're a Batman fan and you love Batman and you want some Batman and you need some Batman, this is Batman.
Yep. But it's a lot of Batman.
Let's put it this way. It's not the best Batman I've ever read, not the worst Batman I've ever read, not the worst Batman anthology anniversary I've ever read.
Nope. Mm-mm.
But it's also not the best. So, you know, it's probably going to work best for those who have Detective 1 through 26.
Yes. I'm going to say if I were to give this a star rating, it'd probably be sitting at a good solid 3, 3.5 for me.
It's possible, yeah. I would agree.
Okay, cool. So, listeners, we want you to head over to majorspoilers.com, go into the comments section for this episode, and share your thoughts on Detective Comics number 27, the big anniversary issue. Celebrating 900 issues of Detective Comics, not necessarily 900 issues of Batman, because Batman didn't appear until Detective 27. Before that, it was Fu Manchu and
that man being in trouble.
Yes, that man being in trouble. Lots of that man being in trouble. But we want to have you share your thoughts on this big important issue, and I think it is a big important issue, just as much as whatever issue it was that they celebrated. Action Comics number 1's 75th anniversary.
Yeah, I could buy that.
which I don't even remember what issue that was. Anyway, coming out
Dots,
next week.
Go away.
What's your cat's name?
Mr. Dots.
Oh, I thought you were settling on something else.
Well, I was going to call him Grapefruit Head.
I thought you were going for Kirby. I thought you were going for Kirby Dots.
Kirby is his first name.
Oh, okay.
And he will not go away.
He just loves you.
He does, and it's kind of annoying.
He probably smells the cheeseburger on your breath.
Well, that's an entire possibility.
Yeah.
Next week we have what?
Oh, next week from Dark Horse Comics, BPRD, Hell on Earth number 115, Clown Fatale number 3, Grimm 2.7, In Key Replica Pin. I don't think we can review that. Shoot First number 4, Sky. Skyman number 1.
Skyman number 1.
Is that a Captain Midnight thing?
I don't know, but if it's the Skyman that I think it is.
I think it is.
The Golden Age Skyman?
Yes.
Yeah, I think we should check that out because I kind of enjoyed Captain Midnight.
All right, sign up for that while we go through some of the other titles. DC All Comics right. has Astro City number 8, Batgirl number 27. Again, that does the Gothtopia storyline. Justice League of America number 11, Injustice Year 2 number 1, Superboy number 27, World's Finest number 19. Over at IDW, we've got the third issue of Ben 10, Black Dynamite number 1. I might have to review that.
Black Dynamite!
Illegitimates number 2. Max Maximized number 3.
Maxi Maxi Max.
My Little Pony Friendship is Magic number 15.
My Little Pony Friend Zone is Tragic.
X-Files season 10 number 1. And Triple Helix number 4. Image Comics has A Voice in the Dark number 3. Carbon Gray number 3. Oh, Volume 3 number 2, sorry. Ghosted number 6. Egos number 1, Rat Queens number 4, Velvet number 3. Marvel Comics has the all-new X-Men number 21, Amazing X-Men number 3, Daredevil number 35, Fantastic Four number 16, Inhumanity Spider-Man 1.
Inhumanity Spider-Man.
Oh, you know what else also comes out next week? Miracle Man number 1. That is a $5.99 book, ladies and gentlemen, so be on the lookout for it.
Is that all reprinted material?
I believe some of it's reprinted material. I know that there's a good portion of it's reprinted. There may be some new stuff in there, but I'm pretty sure it's all reprint. Most of it's reprint. You might want to try to do a day of review of that one.
I think that's a good plan.
Superior Spider-Man number 25 comes out. What do you think about this? I guess we'll find out next week when Previews arrives about Peter Parker returning with an all-new number one in April.
If he does, that'd be cool because then it'd be like, oh, look at me. I'm Peter Parker.
The interesting thing is it looks like they're going to continue with the Superior Spider-Man story, and it looks like Dan Slott and Humberto Ramos will be writing that Amazing Spider-Man series.
If they bring him back, it may be interesting to see what they do. What if they're both in Peter's brain?
Oh, what if the Peter entity takes over and the Doc Ock is pushed to the back?
What if they're both in the brain and they keep switching back and forth?
One day
he's amazing and one day he's spectacular.
Or superior. Yeah, that would be very interesting. And then it would be very cool because they're both occupying the same body if they could somehow transform matter into other matter.
Ooh, that would be cool. No, and then they could have like a flame motif.
A flaming motif, yes.
They could be like spider flame or flame storm.
Maybe Peter Parker's body gets put into Johnny Storm's body.
And then
there you go.
Spider Storm.
There you go. Uncanny.
Oh man.
Uncanny X-Force number 16 comes out next week.
DC should hire us.
Wolverine Max number 15. Well, I mean, come on, we can't do any worse than
Hey.
Comics and graphic novels for the rest of the group. We have Adventure Time number 24, Annoying Orange graphic novel number 4, Archer and Armstrong number 17, Betty and Veronica 269, Curse number 1, Damon number 2, Department of Monsterology number 4,
Monsterology,
God is Dead number 5, Gravel Combat Magician number 0. I don't know what that's about. Harbinger number 20.
I think it's about a combat magician named Grapple.
Gravel.
Oh, that's from Avatar.
Oh, okay. Everybody's going to have their guts getting ripped out and all that stuff.
Probably.
Hypernaturals Trade Paperback Volume 3, Imagine Agents number 4, Miss Fury number 8, that's from Dynamite, Noir number 3 from Dynamite, Regular Show number 8 from Boom Studios, Shadow Now, number 4. Simpsons Comics from Bongo, number 208. Did you take a look at those Simpson Legos?
Yeah, those are awesome.
That's one of the first times, you know, when they build houses, they rarely let you open them up and play inside. Usually it's like one side is open and you have to reach through. This one's like a two-story, split in the middle, open it up, all the furniture, all the cars, everything in there. Can't wait for that to come out. It's going to be a price tag, $199 on that one. But it's got Flanders, so all I can say is Oakley Dokley.
Hidey ho, neighbor.
Flanders.
Stupid, sexy Flanders.
That pretty much wraps it up for the books that are coming out next week, unless you're wanting to get into merchandising items or books or magazines.
Merchandising.
Yeah, I think next week is, they don't show. I'm pretty sure Previews comes out next week, end of next week. Because I'm going to bet.
I think so. It comes out the last week of the month.
Well, next week is not the last week of the month. But next week is the week when DC and Marvel send out their solicitations, which usually coincides with the days leading up to the release of the new Previews.
Previews comes out the last week of the month, but they also released their Previews magazine, I guess I should say.
That came out
today,
didn't it?
They released the solicits. No, it came out last week.
Oh, okay. All right.
I was all like, hey, what should I order? Oh, I'm canceling a whole bunch of titles. Okay.
There was another news item we could comment on briefly. We already mentioned the Amazing Spider-Man bit. We already talked about Legos. This really interesting story about Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips signing a 5-year deal with Image Comics,
right?
Which basically gives them free reign to do whatever the hell they want.
Well, they've been doing Criminal.
Yeah, they've been doing stuff, and they've been doing a Fatale.
Are they behind Velvet, or is that?
I don't know if they're behind Velvet. I know they're behind Fatale, which concludes with issue number 24. I'm sad to see that book go, because I thought that was going to be a long ongoing. But their first project out the gate is called The Fade Out, which looks rather interesting. That'll come out in the summer of 2014, and that'll be an ongoing series. But basically, this contract allows them to do whatever they want. Total freedom, total control, total ownership over the project, which some people might be going, wow, that's a really good deal, except that you have to remember that Image Comics is really creator-owned stuff.
Yeah.
And so as long as Image Comics is interested in publishing your book, they'll publish it and you can still do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But I think this is still a pretty cool deal for Image Comics and for Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips, because they know they have a home to publish whatever they want.
Yep. And if they want to go nuts and they'll be like, you know, spelunking in leather uniforms, they can do that. And I think that it's fascinating that they can pull that off. I want to see what kind of things you do when you can do whatever you want.
What was that story I sent you yesterday about WWE? Did you read that?
The WWE is launching their own network. Instead of doing like a TV network, they're going to have
being on TNT or something like that.
They're going to be apparently streaming online.
Oh, okay.
And then you pay and then you get access to their pay-per-views. You get pre-shows, post-shows, special stuff. I want to do
this. Are you going
to
buy into it?
I don't have enough money.
What's the cost?
$9.99 a month, I believe is what they said.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't have any money. And more importantly, the stuff that I'd want to see, I want to see their ECW library. I want to see their AWA library.
Is that included in this?
That's all owned by WWE. I'm sure it'll be used if they're doing a 24-hour network.
Interesting.
Their old WCW stuff. I mean, they own footage.
So I could go back and watch Andre the Giant beat up on Hulk Hogan?
In theory, yeah.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Brother.
Brother.
And finally, Marvel Comics announces Iron Fist, the Living Weapon.
Yeah, Iron Fist. Iron Fist. We want Fist of some iron.
I don't think when the mystical city of Kunlun comes under siege, the prodigal son Danny Rand must come home in more ways than one. Is Iron Fist prepared for a threat that harkens back to the horrible days when his father dropped to his death on a Himalayan mountaintop? Can anything prepare him for the truth that's waiting for him in the rubble that was once the city of Kunlun?
And what about Naomi?
The place of Iron Fist's birth?
Can Daniel Rand resist the big red button?
I like
the jolly candy-like button.
I like Iron Fist. That's a Marvel character that I dig. And we have artist Kara Andrews. That's K-A-A-R-E.
Oh, Carrie Andrews.
Is that how you say it? Carrie Andrews?
That's how I say it.
Kaar Andrews.
It's Kaar Ray.
There you go. Writer and artist on that series. So
his friends call him, or her friends call her, Ray.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that series.
Nice.
All right, everybody. I think that wraps it up. We don't want to talk too much because we want to keep this issue short. But it was a Detective Comics number 27, so we could expand upon it, talk a little bit longer this week. But next week, it looks like we're doing Skyman number 1, and you can look for Matthew's day of release of Miracle Man number 1. Right. And I think I'm going to snag. What was the one that I said I was going to snag?
You said you were going to snag a comic book.
Oh, yeah. One of those.
I'm sorry. I was.
No, that's okay. I'll go back through the list. Let's see. Next week from Dark Horse Comics, we got Dark BPRD, Hell on Earth, number 115.
So much for keeping it short.
It was, geez, what the hell was it?
It was a comic book with
It wasn't anything from DC Comics.
No,
although DC versus Masters of the Universe number 4 comes out next week.
I think it was when we got down into the
Black Dynamite number 1 from IDW.
There you go.
That's what it was.
The Idwa books.
There we go.
Idwa.
I better get over there and claim that before.
Before Rodrigo does.
Before Rodrigo does. Yeah.
Or Rob.
And you know what? It's probably actually sitting here on my desktop already, since we do get our previews, our review copies early.
From IDW.
From IDW. We thank them for that. We
call them Idwa.
I do want to point out that we did not get review copies of Detective Comics number 27. But occasionally when we do get review copies, we do let you know. So be on the lookout for that. Just because we get free copies does not mean that it in any way influences or colors our reviews here at MajorSpoilers.com.
That's right.
All right. Coming up later this week or in the Major Spoilers Master feed, we will have Zach on Film. We will have Critical Hit. We will have a brand new Wayne's comic in another Munchkin Minute, as well as next week on Monday, another Munchkin Land, brand new this week. And nice. It's a little bit different. It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a really short game, and you're going to find out why on the next Munchkin Land. If you want to help us out on this one, I won't spoil it for you, but I'll tell you this. I don't win.
Well, that's no spoiler for anyone who listens to Munchkin.
Listeners, if you like this show, please let us know by sharing some 5-star reviews over there in the iTunes store. Or maybe you want to become a VIP member. This weekend, we do have a VIP live chat. That's January 12th, 1:30 p.m. Central Time. You can find out more at members.majorspoilers.com. We appreciate all of our VIP members, whether they be bronze, silver, or gold. Some cool things coming out in 2014. We want you to be part of it. And one way you can do that is by signing up for the Major Spoilers email list. We'll even give you a free bonus tracks episode where we sit down and provide commentary to Star Wars. There's a big orange button right there on the Major Spoilers website. Sign up for free. Just sign up and we'll get that headed out over your way. All right, everybody, thank you so much. And until next time, read comics.
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for some comics.
There you go.
Major Spoilers is copyright 2014.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.